Welcome to Tigers SRD with two hosts who always start on second. Chris Brown.
Never-ending parade of mediocrity.
And Roger Castillo.
Oh, Roger, you live in Detroit. Da, 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 da.
Welcome to the MLB trade deadline here on Tigers SRD. Some crazy steal going on right now.
I hate the Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, lots of space in this mall.
The Dodgers deciding to drop a nuclear bomb on the trade deadline as they decided to go trade for Max Scherzer and Trey Turner.
Wait, has it happened?
It's happening right now.
There you go. Yep. Keeper Ruiz, Josiah Gray, Geraldo Carrillo, and Donovan Casey.
Dodgers also acquired Danny Duffy from the Royals today. The Yankees acquired Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs. The reason why I played that classic Blues Brothers scene is because that whole scene is just chaos, and this is exactly what's been happening. And I cannot describe to you. I've never seen a trade deadline like this. We'll continue on with the trade. The Mariners got Diego Castillo from the Rays, which is a really good trade because they were facing a roster crunch with they had Anderson coming back, Archer coming back. I read an article in Fangraphs about that, so that trade was going to happen. The White Sox added Cesar Hernandez from the Cubs, or excuse me, from the Guardians, which we'll get to that in a little later, or Indians, whatever you want to call them now. They also acquired a right-hander in, Tapera.
Cubs.
For the Cubs. So that was a crosstown trade. I feel like I'm missing one. What else happened today? I feel like there's another trade. Minnesota traded. We talked about this. They traded two top 10, or the Rays gave them two top 20 MLB, according to MLB.com prospects, for Nelson Cruz, who goes down to Tampa. And that, I think, is about it. I'm trying. If I'm missing any right now?
No, I don't know.
Joey Gallo?
Oh, yeah. Duh. Joey Galloway to the Yankees. Joey Gallo, not the former receiver. Sorry. Joey Gallo, not the former Seattle Seahawks receiver. Joey Gallo. The Yankees also traded to Pittsburgh, too.
They got that. Rando reliever.
Yeah, for Hoy Park and a catcher that we like.
Diego Castillo is a middle infielder.
Yeah, so two Castillos that I like are gone, and not because of my last name, but they're actually pretty good prospects. And it's one of those things where it's just all happening at once. And the Tigers right now, I mean, they're up 6-2. Got great pitching from Casey Mize. The Tigers also are introduced – the newest Piston, first round overall, or first pick overall, Cade Cunningham, you know, and you would think that we should be happy about this. And, you know, even now there is just an element of like just sitting outside the cold window, just like, oh, I wish we could do stuff. I mean, you know, honestly, like the teams that are getting, I mean, what's really baffling about this whole trade deadline is Texas and other teams, I think it was San Diego too, some of the teams are actually eating up the costs. So the Yankees can stay under luxury tax, which is ridiculous. It's just.
Well, I mean, that's, I wrote a trade proposal today, and one of my proposals, like literally minutes before the Yankees went and traded for Anthony Rizzo, was for the Tigers to take on Zach Britton, who was, not having a great year. But was pretty good in the last couple of years. It's making $13 million this year and $14 million next year. And that's one of the things you can do, I think, as a small market team, you know, a smaller budget team, I guess, is you got a tiny payroll right now. The Tigers could take on money in order to get a better prospect, theoretically. They just have never done that. Yeah. But other teams have. And, I don't know. I mean, it is weird how these teams with their self-imposed salary cap restrictions do it. But, you know, if there's a way for you to get more value from your prospects by taking on money, I think that's okay for smaller market teams, if you're willing to do it.
Yeah, the Cubs got right-hander Alexander Vizcaino and minor leaguer Kevin Alcantara, and it's still not giving up the Yankees. Some of the guys like Luis Gill and some other, they have a the Jason Dominguez or anything like that. They still have a pretty good loaded system. So the Yankees didn't really, it seems like, I'm not saying second tier or anything, but for Anthony Rizzo, I expect a little more than that. I mean, but it's a buyer's market. You would think the you think the Tigers would be in something. But then when I saw the Cesar Hernandez trade to the White Sox, I was like, well, there goes the idea of Jonathan Scope going to Chicago. Tomorrow, if there is a trade, we'll be doing like a breaking podcast. But I don't know. I mean, people are like, well, Scope is DHing today. And big deal. So what?
Yeah, and you got we got Cisnero pitching and not particularly well tonight, right?
Yeah, he walked two.
Yeah,
and Fulmer may come in. So
yeah,
I mean,
Fulmer's coming in right now, I believe. Yeah,
those are your probably your three main options. I don't know if you know Avila is legitimately not interested in making trades. If the market isn't there at all, or if they're kind of waiting until the end. It seems like the relief market is really kind of going to the last moment here. A lot of the big moves seem to be happening today, although we could still see Chris Bryant get traded. There was some insinuation from a San Diego Tribune writer that now that the Cubs have traded away Anthony Rizzo, they could take on Eric Hosmer.
Yep.
And that would be a situation where a big market team was taking on a monster ugly contract from another big team, and in return they'd be getting, you know, one of San Diego's top prospects, maybe Mackenzie Gore, who's kind of fallen off the face of the planet this year. I think there's still some fireworks to come, but it's been fun, Ray.
I think when Kimbrel moves,
yeah,
I think a lot of dominoes probably fall on the relief market then. You know, it's kind of where he goes and who takes him on and who needs to match that move. I don't know where Cisnero falls in the pecking order in terms of people who are available. It must be fairly well down the list because, you know, he gets leverage situations. His walk rate, as evidenced tonight, is a little high. I just don't know what they'll get for him, but that's definitely someone I would think they could make at least some kind of move and get a decent player.
Yeah, I mean, he's a quality reliever. I was looking, he's one of, you know, 15, 20 guys over the last calendar year who's got an ERA under 3 and, you know, a strikeout / walk rate that's fairly high in a certain, like 40-plus innings. So he's kind of, not necessarily, you're not going to get him to be your closer or necessarily even your setup man, but he's a guy who could go maybe 2 innings for you in the 6th and the 7th or 7th and 8th when you need him. And that could be very valuable to add depth to any bullpen. So, and he's got multiple years of team control remaining. So
you think
there'd be some value there, but he is kind of, and I was talking to Jake earlier on our Slack chat and Raj wrote the article where I was making the comparison to the Pistons and the Tigers and how the Pistons were so much fun this last year, because even though they were awful, they had all these young guys who were fun to watch, and they seem to have found some random guys just off the scrap heap, like Josh Jackson and Frank Jackson and these other guys. And the Tigers kind of have a couple of those scrap heap guys finally. We mentioned Badu and Haas, but Cisnero is one of them too, you know, minor league free agent that has turned out to be, you know, their most consistent reliever. So maybe they don't want to give up on him yet.
And look, I understand if they don't want to give up, if they didn't have the market for it. And I understand that there is a certain added caveat to that, but I'm looking at some of these trades and I'm thinking to myself, there had to be something that they could be getting to relieving for Scope, because if they're not extending him, because the Tigers, again, we talked about this last week, they haven't extended anybody, then I understand. Then if they're not getting a value, but look, I look at the return on, even you look at teams like, for example, the Padres or the Blue Jays, they're 10.5 back, they're only 1.5 back of the Yankees, and they've been decimated by injuries. They also have a roster crunch right now. They have to think about what they have to do with Kevin Smith, who's been hitting really well in Buffalo. They have a couple guys in their system that they have to kind of make a decision on. So that's a team I'm looking to see maybe make some move tomorrow. What for what? I don't know. I mean, they could go get Berrios from Minnesota, which I think would be a game changer, but I don't think it'd be enough to catapult themselves into the East, because you have Tampa's really good. You still have Boston. And excuse me, Boston still hasn't made a move yet. I mean, for all they got pitching coming back, so they got starters coming back, but they also have to address a bullpen that's kind of been decimated a little bit. So, but then I look at also the one division that's been very quiet in a certain degree or to a certain extent is the NL West, in the sense that, like, I mean, let me rephrase that, because Oakland went out and I forgot that was the other trade. Oakland got Marte for a guy in their pitcher.
Jesus Luzardo.
Luzardo, who, by the way, I mean, a lot of, you know, it's Mark was saying that, well, the A's were giving up on him for a reason. They might know something if they're only giving up for a guy who's a rental. But, I mean, that's a great trade by the Marlins. The Seattle trade, it was kind of hit, you know, a lot of the players were pissed off about it. But this division right now, the outside of the Twins, I mean, the Royals did Duffy. I mean, I was surprised by it a little bit, but the White Sox have been really quiet. The Tigers for the most part, but it's been the Indians. I mean, until today, but that was kind of like a salary thing anyways. And the biggest announcement came out of the Cleveland outside of the Guardians is that Terry Francona will not be managing the rest of the year.
Yeah, you know, he's dealt with health problems in the past, and I don't know exactly what's going on there, but you wish him well. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess I thought the White Sox would be a little bit more active. You know, they had Andrew Vaughn playing second base today, that poor kid. he's played everywhere. But, yeah, it's weird because they're one of those teams it's like the classic, their big trade deadline moves will be getting their injured players back. You know, they just got Eloy Jimenez back. Luis Robert's coming back soon, I think.
Yep.
So those are two big ones. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, when we go with Jonathan Scope, like, where's the market for him? We talked about it last week. Like, he was a free agent the last 2 years, and the best deals he could get were from Detroit. So for whatever reason, Major League Baseball teams aren't keen on Jonathan Scope, it seems like, or at least not willing to pay what the Tigers' value is. So he may stick around, and who knows what will happen there. But I don't know. I see Michael Fulmer just struck out the side in his inning of work, so maybe.
So high.
Yeah, maybe that'll get somebody interested in him. And meanwhile, Cisnero walked three guys, which is bizarre. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think about Cleveland.
Well, I tell you, with Scope, obviously MLB is not, as in general, isn't fooled by the heater he's been on since June 1st, because he's been very impressive for, you know, going on 2 months now. But I think it's just offset by the long career of being kind of an average guy. So no one's buying into that. But I was surprised that Chicago would go with Cesar Hernandez, and maybe Detroit didn't want to make a deal. I mean, that's very possible. But I thought, you know, to give up a guy who was drafted in the third round a couple years ago, a pitcher who is, I guess, doing decently this year, in Pilkington, for a guy with a WRC plus of 100 and Cesar Hernandez, I don't see how Scope's not a better fit for them, for the White Sox. Now, obviously, the White Sox are not worried about the division, I don't think, too much. Every move they make is geared toward getting their roster playoff ready. So I don't know, you know, is Hernandez a better defender than Scope, and they want the defense buttoned up as well on that side of the infield? Well, I was surprised. I thought the White Sox might be a looming one for Scope because they've seen him a lot.
Yeah, it seemed like a perfect fit. So it is tough to know what happened there. I mean, Hernandez walks a little bit more than Scope, and I guess he's got equivalent power. So I guess, you know, if it's down to those two and the Tigers want, you know, a top 10 prospect and the Brewer or whoever it was, yeah, just were willing to take Pilkington, and then there you go, the Cleveland. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Scope is putting together the best plate discipline year of his career in a number of categories, you know, swinging in the zone, swinging out of the zone, swinging and missing. But again, it's, you know, only a couple of months, and maybe by the end of the year, it's back to career norms. Who knows? It's just rare for guys to have a change this late in their career. I think maybe Adrian Beltre did it, but like I said, it's pretty rare to see.
Yeah. I mean, who do you think looking for a scopish guy? I mean, it looks like the Giants, Mariners, Red Sox. That's the ones I see out there.
Yeah.
That's another team that's been really quiet, too. That's a good one. I totally forgot. The Giants have not said or done anything. But if you're San Francisco right now, you have one of the best records in baseball, and you see your crosstown rival and the other team in your division just loading up for Bear, I mean, what do you do? I mean, they have to – the Giants have been getting some amazing starting pitching. Their bullpen has been kind of a weakness. It's a no-name bullpen, but it's still getting it done. But – Scope, I could see going to San Francisco. I can even see Michael Fulmer going to San Francisco, honestly. Like, I think Fulmer would be a good fit for them. Down the stretch, he'd be a good closer-type person for them. But this is strange. I mean, if you're the Giants, what do you do?
I keep seeing the Giants linked to Chris Bryant, but nothing, like, you know, concrete. That would be a big splash for them, and they may feel like they need to go get Berrios after the Dodgers – get Scherzer. We'll see.
Jonathan Scope just seems like a Giants kind of guy. Mm-hmm. You know, a good veteran, but not a great veteran, who goes to San Francisco and they find another gear for him for a short time.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. That was kind of the previous Giants regime. Yeah. Basically, I mean, it does feel like that. Like, yeah, there he goes, and he has a career year, but. This Giants regime seems to be, you know, pulling guys from out of nowhere and getting success for them, or rehabbing their older players. But yeah, I mean, I could see him going there. Boston is a good one, I think. Like you mentioned that they haven't done anything, and I'm kind of waiting for them to do anything. You know, are they still in first place? Are they second place? I don't
know. No, they're in first place.
Yeah, so I mean, you'd think that they would try to do something. But maybe they're waiting for the dust to settle and then going to try to swoop in at the last second.
Well, there's only so many guys to buy. I mean, I've been interested that, you know, Chris Bryant, for as attractive as he is to a lot of people, probably the last 40, 45 games, he's actually been in quite of a slump. The numbers aren't good. It's hitting like 180 with a 260 on base for quite a while now.
I thought he turned it around in July, but he was definitely awful in June, but it was weird because a lot of it was, I'm checking to see now what his stats were, but let's see. Yeah. July, he's got a WRC plus of 151.
Oh, okay. He has turned it around.
Hitting 290 with a 11% walk rate and 516 slugging.
Well, I had that wrong then.
No, but he was brutal in June. He hit 114 in June.
Yeah.
I think, and he's been, you know, he's been a guy who's not the player we thought he would be after his first 2 years. He was, you know, a rookie of the year MVP, looked like a future Hall of Famer, and he's just been kind of, you know, plagued by injuries. So I could see a team balking at any kind of high asking price there. But he's a, you know, an expiring contract. So I guess you have to beat the possibility of a draft pick in order to get him. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
I'm impressed. I'm impressed by this. What Washington got going on? I think the players they're getting back for Scherzer and Trey Turner are pretty solid. Sounds like they weren't going to be able to sign Turner. They tried and they couldn't do it. You know, they're getting Ruiz and Josiah Gray from the Dodgers plus two more. Those are two stalwarts that they're going to plug right in. I was watching Gray the other day when he was pitching. He gave up a home run, but man, he just thrown some nasty stuff by people. And everybody loves Ruiz, the catcher. And I think the Nats also dealt Brad Hand today and got something back from the Blue Jays. So,
Yeah, that's right. The Blue Jays did get Brad Hand.
They got a catcher. They got another catcher there.
He was in AAA.
Riley Adams.
Riley Adams, yeah. Thank you, yeah.
And Raj, you and I actually saw, I think it was Gerardo Carrillo. See, what the third guy. We actually saw him 2 years ago in West Michigan. I don't know if you remember that. We went out there and he pitched against the Whitecaps. He's a solid pitching prospect.
That name does sound familiar now. And as far as Ruiz goes, he's been hitting it up, tearing up, hitting over 350 for Oklahoma City. And so that's a, and it gives the Nationals some depth, much needed depth in the farm system. Because Chris, we talked about this before. They don't really, I mean, outside of low A or even high A, they don't really have much. And so this kind of, they were rebuilding on pitching. I got to give credit to Mike Rizzo for rebuilding this farm system on the fly and recognizing, waving the white flag that, hey, you know, we're not going to be NL East champions again. And the same thing with, like, even the Marlins. Like, the Marlins have kind of fallen back a little bit, and they're kind of waving the white flag a little bit. But Seattle really pissed off their player fan, or their fan base, rather, too, and also the players. But then they came back and perhaps redeemed themselves with Diego Castillo. And Archer right now currently is in Durham pitching right now, and Nick Anderson is also coming back. So, again, it's been crazy, and I can't really – whew, man, it's just a lot to keep up with. And so hopefully tomorrow, like I said, well, if there's a Tigers going to make a move, and we'll have it all the angles covered for you, of course. Tigers this week getting all their draft picks taken care of, too. So Dylan Smith was the last one to sign. That's some good news. And they look like they're going to be, according to a source of ours, they're going to be, a few of them are going to be in the instructional league, correct, Chris? Did you see that message from our source?
Well, I assume that was for the Florida Complex League. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what that means. You know, I assume we'll see Pacheco start playing pretty soon. Beyond that, I expect Job to throw a little bit at some point this year. But yeah, after that, it's like the college guys. It's tough to say. Are we going to see RJ Pettit? Are we going to see Haas? Are we going to see Cole Hepp? Or Madison, I don't know. I don't think we're going to see Madden, and we probably won't see Smith. We might see Smith, but I doubt it.
Yeah, they're all down there right now. There's been pictures of them hanging out and getting all familiar with everything. So
yeah.
So Roger actually found it was August 25th, 2018. We went out to sea. I tweeted, headed down to West Michigan today to see Whitecaps take on the Great Lakes Loon. Eager to get eyes on Wenzel Perez and Miguel Vargas and maybe Gerardo Carrillo. So.
Simpler times.
And you replied, it's too bad Edwin Uceda got called up. I will be joining in and maybe some videos. So,
yeah.
That wasn't our most eventful trip to West Michigan, but I do remember it.
Yeah, so if anybody – well, you know, I might as well go and address.
You don't have to say anything if you don't want to, man. I don't mean to.
I mean, it was – Saturday was probably the most eventful trip in West Michigan of all time. I did want to thank everybody who sent me good well wishes and best well wishes. And honestly, that meant a lot to me. And thank everybody for currently right now I'm sitting okay. I got ice. Like, I had ice pack on earlier, but I might as well tell what happened because it's an interesting dilemma story, if you will. Not dilemma. Well, dilemma in the sense that it just kind of was a wake up call to change my dietary habits, which I've been doing anyways. And so, as soon as I ate some super nachos, about the fifth inning, I just took some notes, just took film of Jimmy Kerr on the other side. So I had that, and I was getting some notes, and I was heading back up with you, and all of a sudden, my back started hurting a little bit. I started getting sweaty, and my stomach started kind of get upset, and I didn't know what was going on, and it just felt like it was harder and harder to breathe. It was starting to tighten my chest a little bit, and so Chris said something, and he was like, I'm gonna go downstairs and get more video. I'm like, okay. And I just totally mentally checked out, and I went downstairs, went to use the bathroom, nothing was happening. And then I went into the corridor and I left my phone upstairs, which if you know me enough to know that if I don't have my phone on me, you know, I'm out of it. That's just something that you should know. And I saw the first aid guy, I flagged him out and said, hey, I'm not feeling well. And I called my wife. Well, before I went to the bathroom, I called my wife upstairs in the press box and said, hey. She said it sounded like a gallbladder attack, and fast forward. And then I let the paramedics know, and shout out to the Butterworth Hospital in Grand Rapids. Did a fantastic job of getting everything taken care of pretty quickly. The surgeon team at 3 a.m. when they saw Chris and I, because Chris, kudos to you for staying around, but they were pretty humorous. That surgeon team was cracking jokes, and you know, they were pretty, they were a lively bunch, if you will. And so, but when they did the ultrasound, they realized I had to take it out. So, I should be back on the mend on Monday, at least in terms of doing things. But for now, first time in a long time, and on the couch, not doing anything, and it sucks. So this right here, No, because I'm not used to it. I'm not used to sitting around. I don't like it. So, no, sir.
I'll say from my perspective, you got nachos, and I was like, those look good. And we always get nachos because nachos are delicious. And then, yeah, we were sitting down there behind home plate, and there was a guy, I wouldn't say he was drunk, but he was enjoying himself and sitting there talking to me. And so when I went back down, he was asking me and talking to me about questions about the Tigers. And I gave him my card and told him about our show and stuff. So he was like, you realize how old I am, right? I don't know anything about Twitter. I'm like, fine. Okay, whatever. And I was watching, and then I look at my phone and it says, get to guest services. I'm going to the hospital. And I was like, what the hell? It reminded me when we were going up the stairs earlier, you're like, I hurt my back. And I didn't think of it. I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, those chairs aren't the most comfortable in the world.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So then it was just like a mad scramble. I was like, what? Oh God, I got to get his stuff. So I ran up there and the guys, and fortunately, everybody up there was super helpful. Nate Wengler from the Whitecaps, you know, he announced the fourth, fifth, and innings that it game. Bo Brisky and Adam Wolf, who were charting pitches, were super helpful. They grabbed your laptop for me and gave it to me and handed it off. And
wow. So
I was able to grab everything, get out there, and see Raj just as he was getting wheeled out on the gurney. And then I went in and they gave, like, I had to finish the incident report for that, and they gave it to me, and I think I gave it to you, Raj, but I don't know if you needed it or not. And then it was
I don't remember that part at all.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't expect you to. And then it was, I asked him, I ran to the ambulance to find out where you were going, and then it was a trip over to the emergency room. It was only like, you know, 8 miles away, and it was nice, but it was kind of fun and interesting, I'll say that, to be in an emergency room at, like, you know, in the wee hours of the morning in Grand Rapids, which is not the world's biggest city, but it's certainly bigger than what I'm used to. And then there were definitely some interesting things happening there at the ER. But like you said, Roger, like, they took great care of you. It seemed like the nurses were A+, and the doctors were good too. So just happy you're healthy, man. And you didn't even mention the fact that all that rain in Dearborn and Southeast Michigan, you know, Grand Rapids got hit by, like, you know, for 45 minutes. It was pretty wet, but not as bad as you got it down here in Southeast Michigan. And so your wife couldn't get out. She couldn't come out to Grand Rapids to see you. She was stuck at the, so that's where, and I felt bad leaving it all, but I didn't really know what to do. I didn't know, like, I mean, they were dosing you up so you could sleep, which is ideal before surgery. Yeah. I was like, do I want to sleep in my car and wait? And I was just like, I'll just drive home. So I got home around 5 a.m. Yeah. Uh-huh. Fortunately, Sarah was able to get out and go be with you, and the surgery was good. And here you are, back good as new. So,
yeah, one less appendage, and that's okay. I mean,
the gallbladder is really,
it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be fancy and have a gallbladder.
Yeah. You don't need that. I mean, it was the way they told me is, if I didn't get done, then it would have gone to the pancreatitis and all that stuff. So, but yeah, I'm just glad it's over. And again, thanks everybody who really, again, I didn't know that Bo Brisky and Adam Wolf helped you get that stuff done. And Brisky, by the way, was called a AA, so that was his last time in West Michigan. So,
so
rock on there. Bo Brisky and Adam Wolf were sitting right in front of us in the press box. And so,
yeah, it's interesting. We're used to seeing pitchers charting during the games. And but I guess, you know, with COVID and everything, they feel like it's better for them to do that from the press box. So when we first got up there and they were cheering and stuff, I'm like, geez, guys. And then I realized, like, oh, these are actually players. All right.
Yeah, I'm not sure who the track man guy was kind of cold.
Yeah. I think he was kind of young and probably not necessarily, I don't know. Just a little unsure of himself there, but, you know, and that's one thing, fun thing about, we don't have the radar gun. We don't have a radar gun at all. And we don't have one, especially with the spin rates on it. But when you're up there in the press box, you can spy the TrackMan stuff. So that was kind of interesting to see Brendan White, who was, we got to see him start. So it was, you know, he was like 91 to 94 in the first inning with an above average slider. And then he was like 89 to 93 for the rest of the game.
Yeah, it didn't.
And he gave up a lot of hits. No, he doesn't. I think he's a two pitch. I think he's a reliever. He's got two pitches. He broke like four or five bats. It didn't seem like he was getting a ton of arm side movement on his fastball.
No.
But he kept breaking.
Yeah, his slider was doing pretty good.
He kept breaking bats. And while we were up there in the press box, I spied that his fastball was like 2,400, 2,500 RPMs, which is plus.
Yeah.
And his slider was like 29 to 3,100, which is, you know, bordering on elite. So there's something there. But again, I think it's probably just a reliever. And in you know, 91 to 93 is probably not going to get you much. So I don't know. It was mildly entertaining, but yeah, I don't know exactly what they have there.
Oh, and Boomer, by the way. We're not going to know a scout for the Reds named Boomer.
Yeah, no, it was nice talking to him. He was there scouting for the Reds and had a nice kind of hour-long off-the-record discussion, which is always fun.
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah, that was one of those conversations that I will cherish forever because originally I said something. The reason why I cherish it because I said something about somebody's swing, and he kind of looked at me and gave me a look like, what are you smoking? And he shook his head. And then I addressed him like, well, this is what I meant. And then, but he gave some really advice. Also, he's from the area too. So he grew up in Michigan, but I forgot his real name outside of this.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
But I enjoyed it. But what's up? Another trade?
Oh, no. Sorry. You froze up on me for a second.
Oh, okay.
But there very well could be a trade. I haven't checked.
Yeah. So the Tigers, by the way, winning 6-2 with Miguel Cabrera going 496 and 497. And Casey Mize pitching efficiency, beautiful game. The Tigers now are five games under 500. And which reminds me, before we get to our categories this evening, there was a discussion. We did get some feedback about what I should jump into. You probably don't know if you saw the latest one, but Little Caesars Hot and Ready's was a suggestion.
Oh, no.
So that was a suggestion. A pudding was suggested. There was a couple other ones too, but it was also the pizzas were depending on how my condition was. So shout out to Steve for the suggestion and a couple other ones as well. So but in terms of cost efficiency, I realized something. I have a pool, a dog pool back there, or I can get a plastic pool. And for $5 hot and readies, you literally just buy six or seven, maybe 10 of them or something like that. And just kind of spread them about and dump into that. But
I thought the ice tub thing was pretty good.
The ice tub, you know what? I'll end up doing that because if it gets that far, you know, like I don't really know what's going on with the Tigers in terms of just trying to get to 500. But
I would.
And then you got to figure out how long you're staying in.
Yeah. I would suggest rather than jump into the pizzas, give the pizzas to somebody who's hungry and just jump into the boxes or something like that. Yeah. You know?
But I do like the idea of ice cold water, and then I like that idea. So definitely a lot to consider.
I'll keep the pool up until November this year, and you can hop right in that.
Yeah, because I mean, honestly, I thought the Tigers a couple times last week against Minnesota were like, "I'm like, ha, not gonna happen." And then Eric Haas said, "No, it's gonna happen."
Wow.
And then they're playing the Orioles, who are offensively inept. Outside of Mullins, I can't really think of anybody on that lineup that's threatening.
Mancini,
it's pretty good. Yeah. I don't know if Mountcastle is healthy or not. I don't know. We didn't really touch on that Twin series specifically, but what a wild, ridiculous middle of the season series where you've got, you know, just game tying home runs and back to back games, including a grand slam and then an extra innings win, and then just the dumbest game of all time the next day, 17-14. Absurd. Seven home runs for the Twins, none for the Tigers, and the Tigers win. First time ever. just one for the books. And it was like 95 degrees. So of course, it was a 4.5 hour game.
Well, series was just what you get when you have two teams that have some strengths, but also have some glaring weaknesses that can be taken advantage of, and that makes teams look sloppy. And they were just crazy baseball games. It was really something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yesterday's game literally had this music behind it. And the Tigers went down the field again, and Joe Jimenez allowed another home run. Fly ball deep to left. Way back. Twins 14, the Tigers 17.
Joe Jimenez on the hot stinky tundra of Target Field. You know, I love a good redemption story as much as everybody else, and it was like fun to see Joe Jimenez start throwing harder and getting some strikeouts, but this is still a guy with 200 innings at the major league level and an ERA close to six and home runs, you know, home runs every nine innings. I don't think it's going to happen, but they need every arm they can get this right now. So he'll stick around for this year, but
they've definitely, he's on the list of people they have to challenge themselves to improve upon.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I think you cast them out and you say, we can do better somehow. And they have a long list of those kind of guys. But I think he's definitely on it.
Yeah. No, yeah. I actually have a list of that for later. One of the questions we got, I can touch on. But
there's plenty to get to, and we've just spent a good half hour just talking about what happened this evening in the last couple of days. But that Twin Series was something that Minnesota. I didn't realize how bad Minnesota was, and that was the first time they snapped a 10-game losing streak at Target Field as well. So that was something that definitely was needed. And that's saying something about the season in general.
Well, they really collapsed. I mean, their bullpen.
We'll get to that too as well as we are.
Sorry. Hello.
Oh, there you go. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying, talking about the Twins. It's just shocking to see, you know, a team that had such expectations be so far from their expectations. I mean, they're not even close. Defensively, they're weak. Injuries obviously hurt. Bullpen and starting pitching. I mean, which of their strengths that they were counting on came through this year? Almost none. You rarely see that.
Yeah, I think maybe they have some. I haven't checked to see where they rank in terms of home runs. You know, that was one of their big things for the last few years. But yeah, beyond that, it's really been a bummer. And all the injuries. You know, Byron Buxton was looking like Willie Mays to start the year, and he just continues to get hurt. And then they lost Kirilloff. Yeah, you know, that's one of those things where, like, if I'm him, I guess I don't necessarily blame him. He's always going to get chances with those tools and his limited track record of being an amazing player. But if he keeps getting hurt, then you know, it could be a Grady Sizemore situation.
By the way, Minnesota is third overall in home runs with 151.
Okay.
Yeah, but everything else, like I said, their pitching fell apart, their bullpen's bad, their defense isn't great. It's not what we expected. Certainly not.
That's where the relief. I mean, the bullpen comes in ranked 25th overall in terms of Fangraphs, and I was actually surprised. In terms of the Tigers are just two spots ahead, and but in terms of overall K per nine, they're not really getting much out of there, and it's a bullpen that has a 5 ERA right now, and FIP is 4.51. So take that for what it's worth, but I mean it's really really strange. I mean, and the rotation too has taken, like you guys were talking about earlier, it has taken a beating. And the rotation is right in the middle towards the bottom of the league and ranked 24th in their bullpen. So they're right there. And when you have a K per nine, you've talked about this too last year, Chris, with the Tiger starters, they're not getting strikeouts. Same thing with Minnesota. They're averaging a seven or K per nine of 7.91. So that's not going to get done. Mm-hmm.
No.
It's time for Rogelio and Chris to go inside the numbers.
All right, now it's time for Inside the Numbers. Youper, you kick off the Inside the Number today.
Yeah, my Inside the Number, sadly, poor planning here. I touched on it earlier. Mine was 100. That was the WRC Plus of Cesar Hernandez of the Indians. And I'll go back to the White Sox again. You know, you look at that White Sox lineup. I thought they would shoot a little higher for their big move. You would think, if nothing else, if they didn't want Jonathan Scope, maybe I would have tried to shoot for somebody who has a little bit more, if there's anyone out there with some more playoff experience, someone like that for their roster, because that's kind of one thing. They have a lot of young guys who are maybe doing this for the first time, who are going to see the postseason, with the exception like Breu, plays like that, but I was really, really surprised they honed in on Cesar Hernandez. I just don't think he's a great player. He's got 18 home runs, and that's fine, but everything else is kind of meh. whatever. So I'm wondering if tomorrow the White Sox make one more move to try to put a stamp on their playoff roster.
Yeah, I think we'll see something for sure. I don't think they can just sit there and do nothing.
But that's what your inside the number today.
So mine is 18 and 11. And I kind of tweeted about this on the MCB Twitter account. That the 18 is the number of 100-plus mile-an-hour pitches Gregory Soto has thrown in his career. And the 11 is how many of those came in the last two outings against the Twins. In fact, 17 of his 18 have come this year and 14 in the last month. So he's throwing harder than ever. And as I said, I tweeted this from MCB, and the predictable response was, who cares? He sucks. They should trade him, which is always like, oh, yes. Well, clearly players who suck are highly sought after in trades. Good thinking. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, he's not perfect by any means. Of course, he walks too many guys and he's, you know, a little bit too hittable, but I feel like we should still appreciate how rare this is. You know, he's a left-hander who's throwing 100 miles an hour. That there have been four left-handed pitchers to throw that many 100 mile an hour pitches in the last year, in the last 2 years, two seasons. It's Aroldis Chapman, of course, Jose Alvarado, and Garrett Crochet to go along with Soto. So, yeah, and I think all the ingredients are there, really. I mean, he's got a 47% whiff rate on his slider and a 67% whiff rate on his four-seamer. He hardly ever throws the four-seamer. Maybe he should throw it more. But, like, you know, the walk rate is too high. But he strikes me as one of those guys who, if he stays healthy, he's going to have one of those seasons where everything clicks and it's kind of like a bonkers two-war reliever season where he's just, he lights out. And, you know, that was one of the things we were asked when we first came into that press box was like, hey, are the Tigers really going to trade Soto? And I don't think they're going to entertain that right now. I think there's a lot of potential there. It, you know, would he be a guy that I would ride with as a closer for a championship caliber team? Not at this point, certainly not. But he's a guy I think they're going to want to keep for another year or two to see what he can do.
You know, and fans, knock it off. Like, knock it off for a second about Gregory Soto, because did you not live through Jose Valverde? Did you not remember what happened with Joe Nathan? Did you not remember Todd Jones? Like, shut up. Yeah, like, I was so annoyed with that. Like, just because he's an all-star, and somebody tweeted out, I know his stats, blah, blah, blah. If you know his stats, then you know he's good. And it happens. Shut up. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion, but you're wrong. Like, stop. That's just ridiculous. Like, come on. I don't understand. Oh, God, people, their short-term memory around here is insane. He is the best international pitcher the Tigers have had in a long time. Are you gonna bitch because it's taking you too long to get a save? Shut up. We'll watch a TikTok video or something, man. Shut up.
Yeah, and they asked him to pitch two innings in that one game, which is, you know, something he's only done a couple times, I think. And speaking of international pitching, there's a Rainer Castillo, the guy they got, one of the big pitcher they got in the offseason. He's off to an outstanding start down in the Dominican Summer League. So keep an eye on that one, Raj. Rainer Castillo.
Castillo. But,
I think with Soto, I tweeted today and it actually got a lot of people talking. I would definitely put a price on him, but it would be a high price, obviously. I mean, I'm not looking to dump him for the next. Duel Lugo is the common joke we hear these days. You know, I think with talented relievers, they do have a flame out factor that's not insignificant. So if someone would meet the price, I think you make the move in a minute. But with that said, I just don't think a team is going to give him the ball in a tie game in the playoffs right now, at least as their first option. So I don't think they're going to overpay for that right now. I think since he's under control for so long, unless they're blown away, I think you keep him for another year or two. If he establishes himself, then that might be the time to market him, depending on what the team is doing, the Tigers. If they're contending, then you keep him. If they're not, then he gets moved, and maybe you get that significant return when he's still got maybe 3 years of control left.
Yeah, I think that's the play. You stick with him. I mean, it could fall apart, but like you said, I don't think you're going to get a ransom for him right now. So you hold on to him and hope that he gets better. And if you're contending, then awesome. And if not, you trade him when he's more valuable, theoretically.
Yeah.
And again, it's just one of those things where who else are you going to bring in then? Honestly, like if the Tigers bullpen is so taxed right now, and you're gonna tell me you're gonna complain about that, like just I don't know. Like that was one of those things that normally doesn't set me off, but when I saw that, it's like knock it off, like knock it off.
I think you know, fans are always gonna be upset about the closers.
Everything.
Even the year that Valverde was absolutely perfect in save opportunities, I think people were like, ah, too many men on base. This is too. It's like all right. You know, it's just they expect Mariano Rivera and forget about those times that Miggy beat Mariano Rivera.
So great moments. Yeah, it's again, Joe Nathan. There we go.
Yeah.
That's all I need to say, Joe Nathan. All right. So my inside number after calming down a little bit and getting into a kind of tranquil like state is the max exit velocity, the number would be 9.4, and that's the barrel rate of Anthony Rizzo this season, as it's kind of is his highest barrel rate since 2017, and his exit velocity is actually up 91.1. So I think the Yankees did their homework here, and maybe in terms of his batting average is 263, showing that, I mean, his walk rate's a more bats to kind of average it out, but that is significant. And I think with right now the way the Yankee right field Porsche is, I think this is a perfect park for Rizzo to kind of blow it up a little bit. I mean, he has of his home runs this season, majority of them are in right field. Mm-hmm. And I mean, right field in Wrigleyville technically. I think it's like 330, 340, something like that.
It's got that little cutout at the end. Yeah, I think it's fairly deep. Yeah, no, I didn't check to see how many home runs he would have in Yankee Stadium, according to Savant. But yeah, he is a pull oriented hitter for sure. So yeah, I could see that working out really well.
Well, if you want to know how many home runs he would have, 23 this season.
How many does he have?
14.
14.
14. There you go.
So expected home runs by ballpark would be 23, and that's the highest of all the ballparks that are listed. So the Yankees did their homework. They did their due diligence. And actually, you know, the other stadium that came up was second highest was actually tied Cincinnati and Seattle with 19. And I'm sorry, in the Padres, it's 20. So there you go. So that's my inside number. But, yeah, just letting you know, I mean, this is where the Yankees did their homework and then really kind of realized what they're giving up here for a guy that can give them – on base percentage too. The Yankees are one of the worst teams in on base percentage too as well.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons I had them going after Candelario. I thought that he would fit well for their first base and third base and not necessarily a power hitter, but a guy who's going to get on base and hits solidly against right-handed pitchers. But I guess they wanted the guy who's going to hit a whole bunch of home runs, whatever.
I think the AL East is going to be a real fun race to the finish here.
And Toronto's another team we could still see make a pretty big move. They have I keep throwing him in on my fake trades because they have like 35 interesting infield prospects. So,
yep,
Kevin Smith, go get Kevin Smith.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be any good, but take a flyer on a guy who's playing super well in AAA with power and speed and playing shortstop. But maybe they want to keep him around and have him second base next year after Semien leaves. But
yeah, it's true. I mean, Semien, 18, he's got 18 home runs right now in Buffalo, which actually I think they're playing in Trenton, New York. I think they've been playing in Trenton. I think.
I thought they were moving back. I don't know. They were in Dunedin. They were in Buffalo. I thought they were moving back to Toronto, but I don't know.
I was referring to the Triple A Buffalo team.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, because Toronto was in Buffalo, so I think they were playing in Trenton.
Sorry,
It's okay. I think that the Yankees hosed out Trenton.
They it reminds me.
What's up?
Reminds me of that scene in Naked Gun 2.5 where they talk about Kid Chicago from Detroit and Sunny Dakota from California. Like, yeah, confusing.
No, that's a good reference there. So,
the good,
the
bad,
that's bad,
and the ugly.
All right, it's time for the good, the bad, the ugly, as this trade deadline has produced quite a bit of interesting mixed bag. Chris, I'll let you kick off the good and the bad and the ugly.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've touched on almost all three of my categories today. The good for me was this trade deadlining. It's not very fun for the Tigers fans, but it's been a lot of fun for baseball fans so far, I think. I don't know if it's maybe just because this is one of those years that seems like there's not a whole lot of parity. It seems like there's like 10 teams who are trying to compete, and everybody else is looking to sell. So but at the same time, it seems like a seller's market. Like they're getting good returns. So I don't know. It's hard to describe, but we touched on it already. I mean, we've seen Starling Marte for Lizardo, Nelson Cruz, Adam Frazier, Joey Gallo, Brad Hand, Cesar Hernandez, Danny Duffy, Anthony Rizzo, Max Scherzer, Trey Turner. There's some big names, and there'll be more coming. Like we touched on it before. I think Chris Bryant has a chance to go. Berríos has a chance to go. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll see Jose Ramirez, like a surprise, shocking Jose Ramirez deal, but I doubt it. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's just been good so far, and I think we're going to see a lot of relievers move tomorrow. So a lot of smaller deals, but still a couple blockbusters left. My bad, and it's speaking about that Scherzer deal, you know, the Padres were supposedly in on that, and I think it sure would have been nice if they could land on them, because their rotation in the last month is brutal. They had Chris Paddock with a 6.33 ERA over 27 innings, Joe Musgrove at 6.29 over 24 innings, Blake Snell at a flat 6 over 18 innings, and Yu Darvish at 7.32 over 19 innings. Ryan Ruthers is the only decent starter with a 3.5 ERA over 15 innings. But yeah, they were among the worst rotations in all of baseball over the last month. And there's a lot of talent there, and maybe they'll figure it out. But boy, they could have used a shot in the arm from Max Scherzer. And instead, they get to see the Dodgers get him. Mm-hmm. My ugly, and this is kind of inconsequential. Normally my ugly is a little bit more, you know, devastating, but Casey Mize was great tonight, but how ugly was the last turn through the rotation for the Tigers? Basically the last week, the entire pitching staff was at -1.1 WAR over the last week. So you had Peralta give up 5 runs in 5 2/3, then Mize 4 runs in 4 2/3, then Scooble 5 runs in 5, then Manning 4 runs in 5, then Alexander 5 runs in 4, then Peralta 6 runs in 3 1/3. Fortunately, of course, Casey Mize stopped that tonight with 7 innings of scoreless baseball, if you don't count the unearned run. So it's not scoreless, but 7 innings and no earned runs. But yeah, I mean, we mentioned it last week, like, This pitching kind of has to come to a halt. Peralta is turning back into a pumpkin. We knew he would. He's a guy who doesn't miss a lot of bats, and you know, when he finds the bats, the ball goes far. Tyler Alexander just isn't a big league starter. You know, he goes out there and competes his tail off, but he's probably best as a long reliever. Mize and Scooble have their inning limits, so we got to still deal with that. Matt Manning is continuously like tinkering and figuring things out, but he still has like a bottom 5 swinging strikeout rate or swinging strike rate, which is going to come back to haunt them later in the year. So I don't really know where the help's going to come from. We talked about Drew Hutchinson before. Joey Wentz may come up soon. He's been okay in Erie. He only gave up 3 hits tonight, but all 3 were homers. So well. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He doesn't strike me as somebody who's going to be terribly ready, but you know, we may see him in maybe another fun Chris Fetter project down the stretch. But that the starting rotation was ugly in the last week. And I don't know. I think it could continue to be ugly down the stretch until at least they get Boyd back. And even then, who knows? It's not like Boyd was tearing things up before he got injured.
Yeah.
I think Mark Leiter might get his shot.
That's possible. Yeah.
I mean, he's got I think his ERA is 2.25 at Toledo, and he's not great, but he's pitching decently. And
they scored 14 runs off the rotation yesterday. It was a 26 game Tiger. Speaking of that, you know, it's funny, Tigers have that 17-14 game. The Omaha game between the Mudhens and the Storm Chasers was 14-12. And by the way, Nick Prato hit a home run, Yeah, we'll get back to that in a second. Uber, go ahead. What's your good and bad, the ugly?
Well, my good is pretty straightforward. I mean, for the last couple of weeks, we've talked about how many games that they were going to face against teams under 500 to start the All-Star break, after the All-Star break. Tonight, they moved to 10-4. And, you know, if you're going to be a team that's on the rise, you got to beat bad teams. And they've been doing it. And, you know, they had a couple of those games that easily could have swung their way of the 4 they lost. So they have to be pretty pleased overall. You know, they have a lot of unsung guys chipping in. They're playing the kind of baseball I think, you know, Hinch is trying to get them to play, and things are falling in place. But again, they are playing bad teams, but you should beat bad teams. So that's been my good. I don't know what it means for the future, but the fact that they're beating bad teams right now, but if nothing else, it's good to watch. And it's a, you know, maybe that's the step in the whole process that they're taking, is that they have become watchable. And if nothing else, that's something for us. My bad was yesterday's game in terms of the bullpen. I think what the bullpen is showing us is it goes back to Ilitch and Avila needing to spend this offseason and to build up the depth at the back of the bullpen, where it's not Derek Holland, you know, and a cast of misfits back there. They need to spend some money on relief pitching this year. And it doesn't have to be, you know, they don't have to go out and spend massive money on closers, but they need to get some real pros, some guys who are relatively close to their prime, who have the numbers that say, hey, he's going to be successful. And yeah, you got to pay up a little bit for that. But with the way their payroll is, there's no excuse not to now. They have the young starters clicking into place where they need a bullpen behind them to get the game to the ninth inning. And I think if nothing else, yesterday showed that the cheap ways aren't going to do it. You know, they either need to really devote themselves to developing them in-house in their system, which they're not doing, or they got to go out and buy them. So I think they're going to have to go out and buy them. And hopefully they do. We'll see. But that'll be something proven this winter. And then the ugly for me, you know, I'm a Max Scherzer guy. I always have been since the day they got him. I hate to see him go to the Dodgers. I was kind of hoping he'd go to the Padres because the Padres are kind of a young team, kind of fun to root for. The Dodgers are the big monolith, you know, the kind of the West Coast Death Star, if you will. So it's going to be hard to root for the Dodgers. I'm sure I will still want Max to play well and pitch well for them. No question. He might get his 3,000th strikeout as a Dodger. Who knew that would happen, right? I was kind of sad to hear that this was where he was going to end up. But I do think it's a fantastic deal for both teams. So, I mean, you can't fault anybody on that one. But it's going to be hard rooting for him in Dodger blue.
Yeah, he'd already got that ring. But so I guess you could root for him to get another one. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's it's going to be weird to see that. And then they also have Clayton Kershaw coming back in a couple of weeks. And they also, I mean, I like that Danny Duffy deal because that he's a good swing man. He could do either start or they come out of the bullpen. And so that's just a cherry on the ice cream sundae there, right there with that signing or trade.
That is a nice small move. And, you know, it's interesting. That's where having the financial might of the Dodgers, you know, he has a flexor problem. They might be paying him $4 or $5 million not to pitch this year, but they're taking the chance that he's going to be ready. And if he is, he could be a definite weapon, as you know, as you say.
Yeah. And good riddance too, because I mean, he's always been kind of a tiger killer and that's fine. So, yeah. But the trade for the good, there was a trade I didn't mention on purpose and that I saved it for my good. And that was the trade for the Brewers trading Edouard Escobar. And they sent two prospects over to Arizona. And that was a good move for them because they swooped in. It was pretty much said and done by every single baseball writer. Oh, the White Sox are going to get him. And he's in the middle of a really good season. And he's put up some really good numbers. I mean, you look at a guy who doesn't walk a lot. I mean, he walks around 7% clip, but I mean, his ISO is 232. So he's hit with power. His hard hit contacts up. He's barreling up the ball at almost 10%. And that is something that the Brewers are a 7-game lead right now. And they got Willy Adames. And they were like, you know what? Let's just keep adding. And that's, to me, a really good move by David Stern. Is it Stearns?
Stearns, yeah.
Yeah, Stearns is done a very good job of navigating through in a small market. I mean, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks just won the title. So right now the Brewers are kind of taking a backseat for the first time in a long time. Usually the Brewers have been the talk of the town. the Bucks have been now the NBA championship, now are the toast of the town. This is a good opportunity for the Bucks to take advantage of a division right now that's in kind of chaos right now. You look at Cincinnati, Cincinnati made some interesting moves. They got Luis Cessna from the Yankees, and they got another, I think it was
Justin Wilson.
Yeah, so they got Justin Wilson. So you're not sure what the hell Cincinnati is doing to add to their bullpen or, you know, try to keep themselves competitive. Pittsburgh's going to be Pittsburgh and just stock up their farm system. Might as well take advantage of the division. Might as well take advantage of what they've been given to them. So I think that's a really good trade for the Brewers. I really think that that's going to help them out. My bad is kind of an interesting mix in terms of what's been going on with the whole suspension, the whole situation going on with the Reds and the Reds and the Cubs. And
Javi Baez.
Yeah, Javi Baez, look, dude, you're going to see this guy. You're going to see the Reds three more times. You're going to probably get hit, swung at. And that whole thing was – all he got was a fine. And that was ridiculous. But Castellanos, Castellanos got, what, two games?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yep. And so, for flexing.
For flexing. So, MLB, shame on you for not being consistent with damn policies, because that makes no sense. There's no type of consistency. There's no type of kind of precedent.
Justice.
Justice. There's no justice. It's bullshit. Pardon my language. It is. It's just, it's nonsense. And so, and my ugly, and it was something to do with the Tigers, and this kind of ties to what you're talking about pitching. So you ask yourself, what are they going to get internally right now? Drew Hutchison's been pitching better down in Toledo. Okay, you can take that with that as a sign that you could be a long reliever. But in terms of what you have with Willie Peralta right now, it is a series of blue. So he's just been, in terms of like just his K rate's 14%, which is below his like kind of where it has been before. His ERA, you know, his xERA is 4.74, and that's not going to cut it. I mean, and you're looking at what's down in Toledo, which is where it gets ugly. Mark Leiter Jr. has got a FIP of 4.16, but he's got K rate 11.3. So that's, I mean, but then again, this is AAA, where AAA numbers are always like, just throw them out the window. It doesn't matter. I mean, unless they're really dominating the level, I don't think you can really take AAA numbers with any type of consistency. I mean, Ian Kroll had an ERA 2.2, but guess what? His FIP was 4.71 in Toledo. You know, and so if you want to look at it as a barometer of success, I'll give an example. So Ernesto Ramirez's ERA was 3.38. His FIP was 2.44. He's still a major league roster. Why? He had a pretty good feel. You know, he had a pretty good FIP. Just saying. In Toledo. So that's the occasion. If you look at that's why you have to look beyond the numbers a little bit when it comes to ERA with these kind of things. Because it's to me, the Tigers don't really have much down.
Nope.
Angel DeJesus, who I like, has kind of fallen off the map a little bit, and he's got an ERA of 4.32. And a FIP of 5.66. The organization likes him, but he's also, in terms of just not getting, he's not throwing first pitch strikes. He's struggling with that a little bit. So that's kind of been hindering him a little bit. And swing strike wise, he doesn't have swing strike stuff either. It's like around 13%. So that's hindering him a little bit. So if you're looking for reinforcements, it's not coming. And I'm sorry to be crass about it, but if you're looking for some sort of alternative, even in Erie right now, Bull Brisky just got called up, and Erie's been getting pounded all month in terms of their rotation. There's some games that have been, they finally scored 10 runs yesterday, and then finally the offense broke out a little bit, but they don't really have much of pitching. So that's my ugly. The Tigers bullpen situation ties away what you're saying, Uper, so kind of work together really well, a fusion together, because they don't have anybody.
It makes you wonder a little bit, you know, with the team being under 500 like it is, but a little bit on the upswing. So that's a good thing. But they're not contending for a wild card, really, obviously. Do they care? At the end of the day, does Al Avila care about the state of the pitching staff right now? What's their level of concern about how thin they are at Toledo and how that's going to bolster the Tigers down the stretch? I mean, do they care if they go 15 and 45 the rest of the way? You know what I mean? Because they're not contending, and obviously they're not doing anything to bring in any warm bodies. So it just makes you wonder what the plan is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if we start, you know, a lot of guys end up on the 60-day or whatever down the stretch, and we see in September Leiter and all the, you know, Hutchinsons, those guys you mentioned. Roger mentioned Bo Brisky. He's got a little bit of like a Buck Farmer feel to me. I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of does too. Like that. Yeah, I can see that.
It's, you know, it's like change up. He's like decent velocity, low 90s. We'll pump 95, I think, occasionally. He's got a usable breaking ball, but it's not his best pitch. So it's like, I don't know. I could see him working out as a some sort of reliever, change up heavy reliever down the road. Maybe. I don't know. That would be a great outcome for a 27th round pick. Maybe he's just going to be an upper minors guy. We have to see him.
What happened to Paul Richard, by the way? I haven't.
Yeah, I that's another good question. I saw him. I thought the last time I saw him pitch, it was like three innings, but it's been a little while since that happened. So I don't know. Yeah, it's we got to remember, it's not just the big leaguers who are, you know, ramping up. There was no minor league season, so they even, you know, they're ramping up like crazy too. So injuries all over the place, and there's 2 months left. We'll see how they survive.
Yeah, this should be interesting. And again, we'll, like I said, if there's any trades tomorrow, we'll keep you posted. So, Chris, we have some questions this week. What do we have?
Well, the two I saw, one was from Chuck Salvi, who I don't know if he's asked us a question before. He said, "What's up with Colt Keith? Hasn't been in the lineup for at least a week." And Chuck, I wish I knew. Wish I had an answer for you. Mm-hmm. I was joking in the Slack earlier today that 1 week ago I wrote an article that was titled "It's Time to Pay Attention to Colt Keith," and he literally hasn't played since then. So maybe he doesn't like attention. Maybe that's what's going on. We're assuming, you know, it's got to be hopefully a small injury at this point, but, you know, this is the times we live in. He's down in Florida. It could be COVID, could be anything. Who knows? So the team hasn't said anything. So, and I haven't heard anything from anybody down there in Lakeland to say, "Oh, I saw him. He's doing this, doing that." So hopefully he'll be back soon. He was really, you know, heating up and looking like an exciting prospect.
Yeah, that's, I look, Colt Keith, there's some numbers you posted, Chris. That was a great article in terms of Rare Company. We talked about that last week. And honestly, like I'm excited for it because it's been a long time since a high school bat has made that kind of impact right away in terms of from a Lakeland standpoint. I mean, Derek Hill got kind of off to a decent start out of high school, but not like Colt Keith. So,
no, I mean, he's, you know, he is a much smaller sample, but he's, you know, performing kind of like Nick Castellanos did. The power, you know, more on base, less power. But again, the sample was so small, he would have started tapping into more power. Maybe he would have pulled a Badu and suddenly stopped walking and striking out, just putting everything in play. Yeah, so I don't know. Hopefully we'll see him soon. And if we find out, we'll let you know, Chuck. The only other question I saw was from Steve Butts. And he said, "Since the trade deadline is proving to be fruitless for the Tigers, besides the healthy return of Daz Cameron, Jake Rogers, and Matthew Boyd, what else should we monitor to gauge impact on the upcoming Tigers offseason?"
Matt Manning?
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Matt Manning's progress. I'm trying to think, you know, the continued success of Akil Badu and Eric Haas, as Roger's writing about. I mean, we kind of feel like Badu is for real, for sure. I mean, it's tough to say for sure, but it seems like what the skills he has are going to translate no matter what. Haas is still kind of up in the air. You know, this has been an amazing run of power. Raji tweeted out that it's only been matched by Cecil Fielder basically this quickly in a Tigers career. Yep. But that sort of thing feels a little more, a little less permanent to me. It seems like, I mean, we've seen some really nice disciplined at bats from him lately. He walked 3 times in that game.
Yeah.
But he's still a guy who loves to swing. He swings his ass off every time he swings, which is part of the reason he has so much power. And I made that comparison to JD Martinez a couple of weeks ago, just for the reasons I mentioned. You know, it's power to all fields and swinging a lot, and just kind of a late 20s guy. But the odds of that, you know, lightning striking twice are probably pretty low. But, you know, if he continues it for the final 2 months, I'd feel better about it than I do right now. So that's something to watch. I don't know, Raj, you have any thoughts?
Well, yeah. I don't know if Haas has a secret sauce, you know. I'm a little worried that, you know, he still fishes for some outside breaking stuff. Mm-hmm. Because he's just so amped to take that big cut. I think I put in a piece last week. It was partially about Badu, but I mentioned Haas. I don't think, if I was going to bet my own money right now, if they have a contender in the next 2 years, I doubt he's a starting player. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he can run and he's decent behind the plate and he can play in the outfield and he has some power, there's no reason he can't be a solid bench player. He can't evolve into that as he goes into his late 20s. And if he stays at the level he's at right now, great. But I think they've uncovered something definitely worth keeping around and giving a lot more at bats and see where it goes.
Yeah. In terms of even his numbers, like he is the rookie in terms of like setting the rookie. He's actually outpacing Rudy York, who was the Tigers. He was trying to be the replacement for Hank Greenberg because the whole experiment for him to go to the outfield failed. But either way, he's out. I think he's more like what you said, Chris, kind of, and you guys are both mentioning that at bat. I mean, he fouled it off. It was really good at bat. It was something that we're not used to the Tiger bats seeing, because if you think about it, last year or the year before, Tigers really kind of had a really lot of quick at bats, but we've noticed that this year there's a difference in their approach at the plate. And I think for him, for Haas, who has been kind of a big uppercut swing, a lot of power, but not really anywhere to place it, really, even when that was his MO in Cleveland, same thing with last year. He's actually played a pretty good left field. Actually, he's a zero defensive run saved. Yeah. So he's not a liability in left field.
Marcus Thames out there. You know?
One thing I'm sort of curious about is why they play him in left rather than right. You know, I think left is actually more difficult at Comerica than right field. Maybe not, because you don't have that super deep right center. But he's a catcher. He's got a pretty good arm. You'd think he'd have the arm for right field. So I don't know. Not that it necessarily matters a ton, but those are good points. That it's not just like a Brennan Bosch situation where he's hitting for a ton of power and he can't really even fake it in the outfield. Like, he's a guy who can fake it in the outfield, it maybe even make it in the outfield, and he can play a legit catcher. I mean, that's going to be valuable even if he's a bench bat, like you said. So
you were talking, Raj, about the quality of at bats, and we talked about Badu a lot, but yesterday in that 17-14 game, I think his first four at-bats were really emblematic of what's going on and what the impact he's having. I think he saw 6, 8, 8, and 9 pitches, respectively, in his first four at-bats. You know, and when in the last 4 years have we seen anybody do that?
None. I cannot think
he was literally seeing 8 pitches per at-bat over 4 at-bats. You know, I mean, great.
I think he kicked off today's game with a 7 or 8 pitch walk, and then moved to third on a throwing error on a pickoff because his speed is a threat. So yeah, I mean you could be looking at the Tigers' leadoff hitter for the next several years, which would be pretty awesome find in a Rule 5 draft. Oh. I mean, you don't see that. So the only other kind of aspects, I didn't know exactly what Steve was getting at. I think you picked up pretty easily. You are better than I did, but I was kind of thinking like, okay, so what are we going to look for going forward? And I think when I look at the Tigers roster for next year, I think there's only a handful of guys who would even threaten to be added to the 40 man next year. I think Cody Clemens is probably a lock. Even if we don't know what he's going to be, he's a third round pick. I think they're going to want to find out. And he's already in AAA. So he's somebody we could theoretically see this year, because they have to add him in December anyway. The other candidates, Angel DeJesus is one I think they might, you know, add to the 40 man. Paul Richin, maybe. They need starting pitching depth. And then maybe Keeter Montero, who's down in high A. And you would think that nobody would take him, but he's got a chance to be an effective reliever at least, so they may protect him. But just look at next year's roster. And like I said, of those four, I think we'd only see Clemens, maybe DeJesus, if things go sideways in the bullpen. But just looking at the roster, and I think is what you were saying, Yup, earlier about Jimenez, the number of players who can conceivably be gone next year is in the teens. You got to think Derek Holland is gone, and you know, Miguel Del Pozo, Daniel Norris is gone, Peralta, Erasmo Ramirez, Julio Teheran, Jose Urania, Jonathan Scope. That's 8 or 9. I think Nico Goodrum is gone. We talked about that, Raj. I think that for as much as I like him and his, for as talented as he is, he's getting more expensive, you know, as in like $4 million instead of $500,000. And they could probably get away with using Zach Short in that role. And I think you could see Tyler Alexander, Buck Farmer, Ronnie Garcia, Joe Jimenez, Grayson Griner, Harold Castro, Victor Reyes. They could all be out of jobs.
Is Del Pozo on the roster?
He's on the 40-man right now.
He'll be gone.
Yeah.
Ronnie Garcia's on a 60-day DL, and I think he'll be left, and then he'll come back down to – I don't think any team's going to pick him. I don't know. Maybe he will. I don't know. But you mentioned – I think that with Clemens right now, he's got 4 home runs in the month of July. He's actually been heating up quite a bit, and not just like the Lynn Henning dressing type of thing. I mean, people like – there's other people who are noticing him, Scott Bentley – who were talking about them and just kind of paying attention to it a little bit, when in reality, this is the first time he's picked it up. He's picked it up the last month. He's also been walking at a higher clip too.
Yeah. And I think technically most of those homers are in like the last 2 weeks. I'm checking his game log right now.
Yeah. Indianapolis. Yeah. He had 2 in Indianapolis or 3 in Indianapolis, something like that.
Not including tonight, his last 7 games, 4 home runs. And 4 walks. So, yeah, it was against Pittsburgh. They've got some talent, but they're Pittsburgh, I guess, Indianapolis, like you said. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's a guy that they're going to want to see, I think. And we don't know exactly what he's going to be. Second baseman, first baseman, they're playing him in the outfield some. Maybe he can play third base.
Yeah. Speaking of Pittsburgh, by the way, fun fact, 5 straight at-bats for, what was it, Rudolph Castro. You guys see that?
Oh, Rodolfo Castro, he's all 5 of his hits are homers, right?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So that's a little fun fact there for you.
But I'll tell you, it's really interesting, Chris, and when you mention how many players they could easily dispose of this offseason, and then you juxtapose that with the success the team has had the last couple of months since May 8th, whatever that record is now, still pretty impressive. So how much belief do you put into the record that they've had for the last 2 months, when you know they're going to flip over easily, as you mentioned, in the teens of players easily be rotated over, which seems like way more than normal for a team that's playing well. So it's really going to be something else. I mean,
it's interesting that the number of guys they've already kind of flipped over, you know, Wilson Ramos, I was chuckling because I saw him. He's in the ad that they're running to get people to take the COVID vaccine. I'm like, I guess you keep running those. You don't take it down, even though the player's gone. But Nomar Mazara is gone. We've seen Jacoby Jones basically get DFA'd, you know, and we're seeing more Derek Hill. We're seeing Zach Short. We're seeing Daz Cameron when he's healthy. Zach Paredes. Willie Castro has shown some signs of life when he came back. I think there's a good 4 or 5 guys that we feel like are legit pieces of the next contender, maybe, and then another half dozen who are interesting enough to keep around for sure and have been playing well. So you got, you know, half a roster going into next year. They're not going to go out and sign 13 guys, but then, you know, you could conceivably see Torkelson and Green and Dingler next year, and they'll probably struggle. They're not turning it up in Double A right now. Green is still solid, but. And Torque, I think, had 3 hits tonight, but Dingler has been really scuffling for about a month now. So,
and that's going to happen.
Yep.
I think the answer, though, to go back to Steve's question, the ones to watch for me are Manning, because I like some of the things we're seeing, even though he's not getting the swings and misses. Maybe that's something we see an uptick with, or maybe we don't, and that'll tell us a lot, too. but then I'm really hoping, and I guess I don't know what's going to happen, that Isak Paredes can come back, get healthy, and they just leave him alone and let him play for as much time as they can. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's really important to see at some point what there is there. Because if he's someone who can hold down a spot, that changes the equation quite a bit to what they're going to try to do this winter, I would imagine. You know, he keeps getting hurt. He keeps getting sporadic time. They keep sending him up and down. We don't know what we have, and I don't know if we're going to know this year, but that's something I think I would like to watch these last couple of months as part of Steve's question.
Yeah, and that would be something that would be cleared up if they were to trade Jonathan Scope, at least cleared up a little bit. I know Scope has been playing a lot of first base, but yeah.
And then Derek Hill, you know, Derek Hill's hitting the ball pretty hard lately. He's doing things I did not expect. I to be honest with you, I figured he'd be hitting 180.
Yeah.
I've come around. I realized when he started making those swing changes last year, he started hitting up with more loft in his swing because he was talking about that with his father talked about that and the swing mechanics. Ever since the change in that, his leg kick is slightly less violent or less pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
It's made a difference. And I think that you're seeing him, his walk strike ratio is pretty significantly, it's night and day compared to what it was last year. And so I really think that he's carving himself a little more than a fourth outfielder because I've come around to the fact that he might not be a regular, but I mean, a little more than above a four. I mean, for terms of like maybe a fourth outfielder, maybe if like a guy you can slot in every other day, depending on the matchup format, but he's causing problems. And it's a good thing to have. You have, you know, with Daz Cameron coming back, and outfielder Badu, Hill, and Cameron, which,
I hate to say, but I actually called it.
Not have a humble brag of that kind of crap. But no, honestly, like it's just, it's good to see that kind of production from a draft pick, and for a draft pick that's really kind of like the last bastion of from that 2014 draft, which I mean, did not produce much at all.
I will be the first to admit, I wrote him off in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just a, you know, just one of those draft picks in the 20s in the first round that, you know, X amount of them wash out and you never hear from him again. So, I mean, kudos to him for sticking it out and making changes and, you know, becoming possibly a viable MLB player because he has some skills.
All right. And just drop this bomb before we get out of here. Kyle Schwarber to Boston.
Well, there you go. Yep. So
he's got a hamstring problem, though, right? He's not going to play right away. But, man, I can see why they want that power. Opposite. He has that opposite field power. He could pepper the Green Monster, if not pop him over that thing like crazy.
Yeah, that's two of my three destinations for Jamer Candelario are off the board now. But again, I didn't think they were actually going to move him, but just that was fun to do. But no, that's you figured the Boston would do something, and you know, with Gallo gone, Schwarber's the best left-handed, and Schwarber's probably a better left-handed power bat than Gallo actually. So that's a good move for them. That's what they need. They, you know, their first base, they have the worst first base in all of baseball this year, at least by WAR. Bobby Dalbec's striking out like 65% of the time, and Michael Chavis hasn't worked out. So that's a good stopgap for them.
Does he play first base at all?
Schwarber?
He ever played first?
I thought he was playing first base this year. Maybe he, I thought that's.
He might have been. I don't know.
Were they having him play the outfield in Washington?
I thought so, but I'm not sure. I can't. I'd be guessing.
Yeah, you may be right. He's always been a first baseman in my mind.
Yeah. He should have been a first baseman, yeah. But, you know, if he's not, then they could still want Jonathan Scope. I mean, he'd still be a step up from the guys they have.
He's played one game at first base in his entire career.
Oh, there you go. They need a first baseman.
And it says 0.0 innings, so... All right, so shows what I know. Maybe who knows? Maybe this will be him playing. I think I saw that the Rays had Nelson Cruz at first base today. Maybe the Red Sox will give it a try. How hard could it be?
Very hard. Very hard.
All right. Well, on that note, then, well, we'll get out of here. And like I said, if the Tigers do make a move tomorrow, we'll jump on and do a quick summary of everything if it happens. If not, you'll find everything over at MotorCityBengals.com. And hopefully sooner or later, this whole where we put our podcast at will be debated or settled on. But for now, find us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartMedia, and Stitcher. Listen to us every week, every Friday. We'll be doing a drop. And we appreciate all the, again, thank you for everybody for the kind comments about my health. I appreciate it. And hopefully we'll continue to bounce back. I am a plus 20 for, I made a Dungeons & Dragons reference and I'm glad you forgot. So thank you. And also thank you to Kian who made a cool Mario reference too as well. So we're back. What's up? What are you going to say?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, other than that, if we'll be watching diligently to see if the Tigers do anything on the trade deadline. And until then, we'll see you next time.